It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In the days and weeks leading up to the 2016 election, many polls showed Hillary Clinton clinching an easy victory. As we all know, that didn't happen. Now, as we approach the midterm elections, another round of polls are coming out. But should we trust them? My guest says yes, if you read them carefully. Michael Traugott is a research professor at the Center for Political Studies at the University of Michigan. He recently co-wrote a piece for The Conversation called You Can Trust the Polls in 2018 If You Read Them Carefully. Michael, welcome to The Morning Show.
Good to be with you, John.
So let's take the Wayback Machine to 2016. As we mentioned, the polls leading up to the election seemed to virtually guarantee a Clinton victory. And as we all know, that wasn't the outcome that we got. Explain what happened.
Well, first of all, we had an unusual election in which one candidate won a plurality of the popular vote, but the other candidate won more states and secured a majority in the Electoral College. And that mirrored the relative accuracy of the polls. The national polls were pretty accurate about the popular vote. They estimated Clinton would win by a little more than 3 percentage points. She won by about 2. But there was a bias at the state level. And the expectations that a lot of people had of an easy Clinton victory came from operations or people that we call data aggregators who take state-level polls, model them into electoral college vote totals, and because of the bias in the polls, they suggested Clinton would win a lot of states, which she didn't. And Donald Trump won a majority of the Electoral College.
What do you mean by bias?
Well, I'm talking about statistical bias. When we did various kinds of post-election analyses, there were polls, especially in the battleground states, that suggested that Donald Trump would do 5 to 7 percentage points worse than he actually did. And, you know, vice versa for Hillary Clinton. And as you know, in 3 critical states in the upper Midwest, Donald Trump won by about 80,000 votes total. In Ann Arbor, we say that's less than the total attendance at a Michigan football game in the Big House. And so it was a statistical bias that seemed to be fairly systematic.
In Madison, we would say that's less than the total attendance at Camp Randall. That brings us to 2018 and the midterm elections. Naturally, we've got poll results coming out every day. We just heard in our newscast at the beginning of just before this, we started this section of the program, we've got polls coming out for governor in the state of Wisconsin, for example. So for those who are skeptical, saying, well, you know, polls, who cares? These are all wrong anyway. For those who are skeptical about poll results, what would you say to them?
Well, I think that there are a couple of general cautionary notes, and then, of course, the devil is in the details of a specific poll. The general cautionary notes are that the polls are more accurate the closer to the election. So you want to look at the most recent polls and also the trend in the polls. But you also want to pay attention, for example, to the mode of interviewing. For example, there's a lot of polling that's being done at the local level using interactive voice recording techniques, IVR techniques, robo-polls, where the law says that they can only call landline phones. So the omission of cell phones is a major problem often. The other issue is that we have very low turnout in the United States, especially in off-year elections. And so pollsters have to usually adjust the estimate they get from everybody they talk to one of the likely electorate or likely voter sample. They reduce their sample of all respondents to likely voters. And that involves a set of assumptions. And one of the problems in 2016 was that the assumptions were based on the notion that the electorate would look like 2012, but we know now, of course, that it didn't. The electorate in places like Wisconsin was more rural than it had been in the past and was also more white. The turnout in the urban areas was lower than in past elections. And we're going to have lower turnout in 2018 than we did in 2016. So the likely voter modeling is going to be very important as well. And it would be important for pollsters to disclose the assumptions that they're making in the reduction of their sample.
Let's take a call. Patty is with us from Rice Lake. Patty, thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Yes, good morning. Polls have bothered me for a long time. I'd like to hear what the professor says. Why should any individual voter pay attention to the polls instead of the candidate and their issues? And I find polls to be a very big distraction for the news. I hear more about the polls than I do the candidate and the candidate's positions. And I just think they're a big distraction.
Okay, Patty, we get it. Michael, what about it? I mean, poll information good for political campaigns? How useful is it to voters, and is it a distraction?
Well, I think that Patty makes a very important point that for any individual voter, they should be making their decision on an informed basis about how they assess the candidates and their issues. But polls serve an important function to the general public in that they let citizens know what other citizens are thinking about and how they're assessing the candidates. They can provide information about how the issues in the campaign are being reflected in the public's views. One problem with contemporary reporting on polls is that they focus too much on what we call the trial heat question, who's ahead and who's behind, and they don't discuss, or the journalists don't discuss broadly enough, why it is that the voters are making these choices.
Yeah, a lot of concentration on the horse race aspects and scoreboard watching. One of the phrases that comes up a lot in when we talk about polling is margin of error. What exactly does that mean in the context of polling?
Well, the margin of error is a concept that comes out of sampling theory, and it describes a confidence interval around any particular estimate, or the difference between two estimates. For example, when we take a poll about how the Democrat and the Republican candidates stand. But it's based upon an assumption of a particular kind of samplings, probability sampling, simple random sampling. And one issue, of course, is that almost no survey, telephone survey nowadays, is using a simple random sample.
Okay.
So it's a useful guide, but it's not a very precise indicator of the amount of error.
Michael Traugott, thank you so much for spending this time with us. Appreciate your time.
Good to be with you, John.
Michael Traugott is a research professor at the Center for Political Studies at the University of Michigan. Coming up next, we discuss whether diverse representations in children's literature and media impact their perceptions of gender and race. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.